certainly thankful and honored to be able to meet you at this place of listening for this gospel ministry. We're thankful to the Lord for having given us this message and given us the ability to come and be able to take these things for you and have Brother Bobby present these things and Sister Brenda on YouTube so that you can access them anytime that it is your convenience. God is so good to us. We invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of the Revelation, the last book in your Bible, to chapter number 11. Revelation chapter 11, and we'll begin reading with verse 14. We want to try to speak to you and address the subject in verse number 19, the temple of God opened in heaven. What does that mean? We need to see this. This is our bread. This is our heritage. God has given us this. It has been preserved down to our day and age. And we want to have what God has afforded us to have. So you pray and we'll seek God's face and see what He might show us in this passage of Scripture. Revelation 11, beginning with verse 14. The second woe is past, and the third woe cometh quickly. What does that mean? All right, let's stop right here. Go back to chapter 8 and verse number 13. We have introduced to us in chapter 8 and verse 13 the three woes. Excuse me. What we're going to find out is the three woes are the last three trumpets. How many trumpets are there? Seven. If these are three woes, how many have gone before? Four. So four trumpets have already blown, revealing the judgment of God and revealing the administration of the Lamb of God who sits on the throne and who has opened the sealed book and begin to show us the things that were to come in the church age. So let's go back to chapter 8 and verse 13 and introduce ourselves to the first mentioning of the three woes. Revelation 8:13, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven." I can see this as Christ in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9 ascending up out of their sight. He is the angel of God. The word angel means messenger. So here is the Lord going up into the powers of heaven and sitting at the right hand of God on the majesty, at the majesty on high. "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice," an effectual voice. It doesn't just mean the volume is greater. It means that the perception is more clearly understood. God is making it more effectual in the hearts and minds of His people. Now, what is this loud voice? What is the message? Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. God is saying, listen, with the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ comes seven seals. God opens the seals, reveals the seven trumpets. The trumpets blow. The seventh trumpet reveals the seven plagues. So progressive judgment comes as the gospel is preached throughout the world. And Jesus Christ begins to deal with those people who rejected Him and refused Him and still in their day and age refuse to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the unforgivable sin is? Do you know what the unpardonable sin is? Unbelief. Every single soul in hell right now is guilty of one common sin. Failing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish." John 3:16. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." I think that's John 3:36. You can look it up. So we understand and see that these woes are coming upon the earth, telling people failing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ brings the last three trumpets. The fifth trumpet is the first woe. The sixth trumpet is the second woe. The seventh trumpet is the third woe. So woe, 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 trumpets 5, 6, and 7. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. He's got three more angels, and they've got their trumpets in their hands, and they have not yet sounded. And they will be woe, 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 trumpets 5, 6, and 7. Look across the page to Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 12. Well, let's look at Revelation 9 and verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, so that would be the first woe. How do you know that? Look at verse number 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter, and the sixth angel sounded. The sixth angel is going to be the second woe. There are three woes. Revelation 8:13. The first woe, which is the angel has yet to sound, is sounded in chapter 9 and verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Spiritual luminaries are falling. The gospel, the spiritual gospel ministry is coming to an end. The things that shed light upon us and gave us understanding of the things of God are fallen. That's the first woe. Verse 12 of chapter 9. That woe is past. That's the first woe. Fifth trumpet. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. So the second woe, it says in verse 13 of Revelation 9, is the sixth angel sounded his trumpet. First woe, fifth trumpet, sounds in 9:1 of Revelation. Second woe, the sixth angel sounding, Revelation 9:12 and 13. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter, and the sixth angel sounded. All right, let's go over to our passage in Revelation 11. It says in verse 14, the second woe is past. The sixth trumpet is already blown. And it says, behold, the third woe cometh quickly. What is the third woe as far as the trumpets are concerned? First woe, fifth trumpet. Second woe, sixth trumpet. Third woe, seventh trumpet. The last trumpet. Listen. The second woe is past. I'm reading Revelation 11:14. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded. Third woe, seventh trumpet. And there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, it says, He shall reign until all enemies are made His footstool. Now, when you get to that word until, it doesn't mean he shall start reigning now. If I'm going to do something until something happens, it means I'm already doing it, and I'm not going to stop until that thing happens. Paul said he must reign until all enemies are made his footstool. So that means Christ is presently reigning Lord, and He shall continue to reign in His mediatorial reign. Hebrews 1:3. After He had by Himself purged our sins, when did He do that? At Calvary, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is presently reigning Lord. How long has He been so? Ever since they saw Him ascended in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9 into heaven. Now here is this heavenly voice, and it's a great voice in heaven. Let me read you, if you don't mind, and you be patient. I jotted down some things that would be helpful to you. I want you to be able to know how to read your Bible. You know that old saying, you give a man a fish, he eats one meal. You teach him how to fish, he can eat meals for the rest of his life. Let me help you learn how to read your Bible. In Revelation 11:15, there are voices in heaven. In Revelation 11:19, the temple was opened. in heaven. Revelation 12:1, there's a great wonder in heaven. Revelation 12:3, another wonder in heaven. Revelation 12:7, there's war in heaven. Revelation 12:8, no place in heaven found for him. Revelation 12:10, now is come salvation by a voice in heaven. Constantly, the Bible in this passage and in this portion of the Scripture is giving you an understanding that we are now rising up to see things in a spiritual concept and seeing these things not as us hoping Jesus will come. And I don't like that song, Hold the Fort for Christ. I'm not here hiding behind the doors of some feigned safety, waiting on Jesus to come and help us. Jesus is reigning. We're storming hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We are storming hell's gates. God is overcoming and overpowering the kingdoms of this world. All this is spiritual. It is powerful. It is effectual. In heaven, in heaven, in heaven. Read your Bible. Just go through the passage in Revelation 11 and 12 and underline every time it says in heaven. And then ask the Lord to help you understand and see it's not particular talking about a place, an altitude higher than what we are. It's talking about a spiritual life, a spiritual world. These things have been changed from the dead letter of the law having a shadow of things and not the very image of those things, could never with those sacrifice continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. But Jesus being a better sacrifice, he offered himself one time, and he cleansed and forgave our sins forever. It's different now. It's a spiritual world. In heaven, in heaven, in heaven. I hope that helps you. Go start fishing. Listen. Verse number 15 of chapter 11. The seventh angel sounded. This is the third woe. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. It looks like if God doesn't do something miraculous here in our present age, America is about to lose her democracy. It's fixing to go under an autocracy. What does that mean? A dictatorship. You're going to lose your freedom. But why is that? It's because God has ended the usage and the benefit of America like He has the other kingdoms. Are they still in existence? Yes. Germany is still there. Spain is still there. France is still there. The United Kingdom is still there. But dear soul, God has gone through them and taken out all of His elect, prospered them, blessed them, helped them to come to know Him, sent His gospel there to intersect them. He has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So gradually the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. He is absorbing all of the elect into His kingdom. For you cannot see the kingdom, John 3:3, or enter the kingdom, John 3:5, except you are born again of the Holy Spirit. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit, John 3:8. So as Christ births His elect people into the kingdom, He births them out of the nations. Then that nation is of no use for of Him anymore. Dear soul, if you've eaten the banana, you throw the peel away. If you got all of God's elect out of a nation, then that nation is of no use anymore. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. How? By gospel regeneration. I know that's going to cause some people some trouble. You misinterpreted it if you don't know that term is right. God is going to birth us. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's what I'm saying. And once God has birthed His people into His kingdom and He has provided regeneration for all of His elect by the blood of Christ securing the atonement, and by the Holy Spirit applying the atonement to the individual soul, those souls are drawn out of that kingdom into the kingdom of our Lord. And it says, saying, we give thanks unto thee. This is, I'm jumping down too far. Revelation 11:16. And the 24 elders, that's the spiritual church, which sat before God on their seats, on their thrones. Well, it's got to be after eternity because we ain't on thrones. Really? You don't believe in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? You don't believe that you have access to the presence of God Almighty through your prayers and by the Holy Spirit in you? We're sitting on our thrones, dear soul. You say, well, I don't think I'm sitting on no throne. Spiritually speaking, in heaven, I'm trying to tell you it's a spiritual thing. My words are spirit and they are life. We give thanks unto thee, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken unto thee thy great power and hast reigned. Christ is presently reigning Lord. And what does this do to those nations that he's drawn all of the Christians out of? And the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come. There's nothing left for them now but the wrath of God. Why? Because he that believeth not is condemned already. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You better be thankful that the Lord saved you, because he saved you not only from hell but from the wrath of God. Saved you unto grace and mercy and to the presence of God and the glory of the Lord. And he says, thou hast taken unto thy great power and hast reigned. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou should give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. It's a double-edged sword. Give reward to thy people and bring judgment and bring destruction to those who destroy the earth. So it's a double work of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, here we get to our verse that we're trying to bring today. Revelation 11:19. And the temple of God was opened, watch it, in heaven. The awareness of God's glory is beginning to shine from a spiritual concept. Not out of the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem, and not out by the First Baptist Church in your hometown either, but from God. Listen. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. God's not against the law. I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Not one jot or one tittle, not one period or semicolon is going to be removed from the law. But dear soul, he says, there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. It's still wrong to murder. It's still wrong to steal. It's still wrong to commit adultery. It's still wrong to do everything that the law said thou shalt not. God hadn't changed in that. And it's the law that's going to be brought to bear upon those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I believe that's Romans 8:3. Check it out. So the Lord has come and the temple of God is open, and we're going to see who that temple is. Not what it is, but who it is in just a moment. Stick with me. But, dear soul, the first thing you see when you open that temple, or when that temple is open, is that God is still lawful. It's still right to do right. Listen. And there were lightnings and voices. You should not separate those two. The lightning is the voice. And thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So we see that these are the things that God would have us to see. Now, who is that temple? John chapter 2. Not what. We're not talking about brick and stone and mortar and windows and doors and such as that. We're talking about a person. You ought to know this. John chapter 2. Verse number 18. John 2:18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Tell you what, boys. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews, looking at Herod's temple, looking at brick and mortar and such as that, they said, It took us 46 years to build this temple. How are you going to raise it up in 3 days? Verse 21. You need to really pay attention to this. John 2:21. But he spake of the temple of his body. You need to take John 2:21 over to Revelation 11:19 and answer the question, who is that temple? John 2:21 said it is the body of Christ. It's Christ. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. Listen, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. They put the two together. You need to take the scriptures, John 2:21, and the word that Jesus has said in Revelation 11:19, and put them together and see that the temple in heaven is Jesus Christ ascended and sitting on the throne. Did that open up anything to you? That's what God sent me over here to do. My responsibility, which I do not have the ability to do of myself, but my responsibility is to open the scriptures unto you. Did not our hearts burn within us while he opened the scriptures unto us and talked to us, by the way? Dear soul, if you can find a minister of God, I ain't talking about a denominational bellhop, some pastor that has taken this position so that he can have money to be able to buy him a new car every 2 years. I'm talking about a called man of God that has the Holy Spirit in him and on him and can come and bring you an understanding. 1 John 5:20, God has given us His Son, and with Him has given us an understanding. Ye need not that any man teach you, but as the unction abideth on you, He shall teach you all things. 1 John 2:20 and 27, I think it is. You can look it up. So, John 2:21, He's talking about the temple of His personal body. The humanity of Jesus Christ is the temple that He will raise up after His death, burial, and resurrection. He will raise it up in 3 days. And He did. Now, where is it? Not where is it. Where is He? He's on high, reigning, sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. We have an high priest that sitteth in the portals of glory in the presence of God. What is it? Hebrews 8:1. So we understand that God is speaking to us in spiritual things in Revelation chapter number 11. You can't come to the brick, to the book of the Revelation with Dr. Bottlestopper's book. You need to come to the book of the Revelation with an anointing that came from your new birth. And that anointing which is the Holy Spirit. And you need to get on your knees and read this book. Not literally, not physically, for some of us get on our knees, we can't get back up. I'm talking about in your heart of hearts. Bow your soul, bow your mind and heart and say, Lord, take the scales away. Let me see the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me have the Spirit of God to take passages like John 2:21 and open up the book of Revelation chapter 11 and verse 19. So he says, they understood the Scriptures, and then they believe the Word that He said. You've got to put the Scriptures and the Word of Christ together, but you can only do that after He has resurrected Himself in your heart. Are you born again? That's the problem. We have an unconverted church membership in America. How do you know? I was baptized. I was a church member. I was fully accepted as a church member for 7 years as a lost person. I didn't know God from third base. And the Holy Spirit came one day and scared me to death. Thank God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I began to be wise when God scared me and said, "You're lost and going to hell." God quickened me and made me alive, and I woke up like Lazarus in the graveyard, dead, stinking, ungodly, but alive. "Lord, get me out of this death. Take these grave clothes off of me. Help me that I might be able to enter into the sunlight of the glories of the life of God in Jesus Christ." Come out, dear soul. Come out of the darkness and come to Christ. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." It's a personal thing between Jesus Christ and you. I appreciate you having pastors and teachers. I appreciate your aunt and uncle and your granny and your cousin and your mom and daddy and whoever else has been a blessing to you and has read the Scriptures to you and have prayed for you. But dear soul, this is not between you and them. This between you and Him. Come to Christ. So they believe the Scriptures and the words that Jesus had said unto them. Look at Revelation 21. The book of the Revelation. Chapter 21. And verse number 22. If I can get over there. Revelation 21. And verse 22. I'm going to read you verse 21 to get started. Revelation 21:21. "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass." That ain't talking about no physical city. It's talking about the spiritual church. Verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein." Get it straight. Well, we're going to start a church. How are you going to do that? Well, we're going to go down here and buy this land from old Farmer Jones. He's too old to farm anymore. And he's going to sell us a few acres. And we're going to buy it there. We're going to buy that land. And we're going to build a church. That ain't what you're saying. You're saying we're going to build a building. You don't build a church. Only God can do that. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. It can only be breathed into life by the Holy Ghost. So, dear soul, he says, "I saw no temple therein." There was no physical building. God didn't go down the road and buy some land from old Farmer Jones, who's too old to farm anymore. There's no temple therein in heaven. Listen, in the spiritual realm. "For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb," can you read me the last five words of Revelation 21:22? Let me start again. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." What? The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of spiritual Jerusalem, of the organism of the church. Where do you worship? Well, we go over yonder on so-and-so road. And we've been in that building for so many years, and we've really grown. And no, where do you worship? I really need to ask you, who do you worship? That'll tell me where you worship. The Bible said, "They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." John 4:23-24. Are you sought of God to worship Him? If you are, you worship Him, not in place and in time. Well, we go over there on Sunday at, you know, we have Bible study at 9:30 and church at 11. You're not worshiping, you're just attending a religious order. I was a member of a religious organization for 7 years, and thanks be to God that He allowed me to see that and endure that and didn't leave me in it. He didn't take me into eternity in that condition. I'd have went straight to hell, humanly speaking. But God brought me through it to make me understand and see that a lot of people who tip their hat to say, well, I'm a baptized, fully fledged member of so-and-so church. But do you know the Lord? Are you one of those that is sought of by God? They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So there is no temple in this, physical. No physical building. Who is the temple? Revelation 21:22. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. John 2:21. This spake here he of the temple of his body. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Enough said. What? You don't understand and know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You're not what you think you are. You're not determined and described by weight and height, hair color or texture of skin. You're not determined by your language. You're known, dear soul, by being a temple of the Holy Ghost. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit are God's. He comes to dwell in you. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You say, well, I went and visited Roman Catholic Church with my cousin. Had all them statues in there. And that's what it's talking about. The church building should not have idols in it. Just so you're missing it a mile. You should not have idols in you. Listen. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ephesians 2. The book of Ephesians. Dear soul, listen. When you get to Revelation 11:19, don't ask yourself, what is the temple? Ask yourself, who is the temple? And beside that word temple, jot down John 2:21. Jot down in your Bible in the margin, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Jot down 2 Corinthians 6:16 and come to understand that God is not talking about you and a bunch of your guys taking up an offering and going down there and buying Farmer Jones acreage and you know, get the construction boys to come in and pour a footing and build a physical building. God's talking about you getting saved. Listen to Ephesians 2:21. Well, let's back up. Now therefore, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You're fellow citizens with the household of God. You and the rest of that crowd are the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, not upon a poured concrete slab. Listen, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. This is an organism. It grows. Listen. In whom all the building, talking about the church as an organism, fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Listen. Verse 22 of Ephesians 2. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So when you get to Revelation 11:19, you don't ask yourself, what is that temple? No. If you have been a student of the Bible and have read the rest of the Scriptures, it will help you. And it takes all the whole 65 books of the Bible to give you some understanding by the Holy Spirit with the last book of the Revelation. For it draws off of all of that. And when He comes to talk about a temple, He's not concerned that you will misunderstand and think that it's a building made out of wood and stone and brick and mortar. Because He's taught you all these years and through all these chapters and through all these pages that the temple of God is an organism in which God dwells. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. This spake He of the temple of His body. I will raise my body up in 3 days. You Jews destroy it. Yeah, and you did. Crucify Him, crucify Him, was what the crowd hollered that just a few days before had been hollering, Hosanna in the highest. He's going to be our king and He's going to overthrow Caesar. Nope, wrong kind of king. Wrong kind of government. So they quit hollering, Hosanna in the highest. And then just a few days they're hollering, crucify Him, crucify Him. And you did. Destroy this temple. And you did. He bowed His head and gave up the Spirit. 3 days later, death could not keep its prey. He tore the bars away. Glory to God. He overcome death, hell, and the grave. Because it is not possible for God to die. Listen. Or stay dead. He died for us because He became voluntarily responsible for our sins. He entered into death that we might enter into life. He is so gracious and so good. Emptied Himself that you might never be emptied. Separated Himself from His Father that you might not ever be separated from His Father. And He brought you unto Himself. And now His body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Now, what else does it say? Revelation 11:19. And the temple of God, who is that? Christ in His church. That's Jesus Christ in His glory. Was opened in heaven. Was opened in heaven. What did Stephen say that made them so angry with him that they picked up rocks and bounced them off of his skull and killed him? He said, I see the Lord, the Son of Man, let me read it to you, Acts chapter 7, standing on the right hand of God. That made them so angry because he was talking about a living Savior. And when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, Acts 7:54, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. That's what we're trying to see. Not a physical building, but the glory of God. Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, sitting, dear soul, and reigning over His church. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open. I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they stoned him to death. The enemy of your natural man, the enemy of your mind, the enemy of your flesh is going to hate you for seeing these spiritual things. As soon as you get away from this message and as soon as you get away from the warmth and the heat and the opening and your heart burning within you while He opens unto us the Scriptures, as soon as it calms down, there's going to be another voice come and going to want to stone you to death because you said you saw what the Scriptures say and it wasn't a building up there in heaven. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory. Oh, my Lord. No. I see the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God, and He saw the glory of God. Dear soul, we need to see the glory of God because that's what got us in this mess to start with. All have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. We need to recover the glory of God. You need to see the temple as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's opened in heaven. And what does it give you? It gives you three woes. Go back to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And Jesus begins to speak to them. He says, verse 7 of John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. I've got to go away. And it's for your sakes. It's absolutely essential for you that I go away. And why? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." The temple of God is where? Jesus Christ is in heaven. The doors are open. A great voice comes out. The Holy Spirit is moving upon His church. It's fulfilling that which He said. The Holy Spirit will come. And when He is come, He will do three things. How many woes were there? Three. How many things did Jesus list that the Holy Spirit was going to do once Jesus Christ was ascended to heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father? Three. Listen to these three woes that Jesus says that the temple of God in heaven is going to send. And when He has come, He will, number one, reprove the world of sin. Number two, reprove the world of righteousness. And number three, reprove the world of judgment. Three woes. It's going to happen when I go away and send the Holy Spirit. He will send you three woes. Three judgments. Now, what does that mean? Verse number 9 of John 16. He will reprove the world of sin. What is sin? I told you. The reason that every soul is in hell right now, from those who were born from Adam all the way down to the day that went into hell, what was their sin that put them there? Unbelief. That's the sin. Of sin because ye believe not on me. Listen, He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." You believe in Moses and his God? Yeah, we're Jews. We believe in that. You believe in Abraham and his God? Yeah. Well, I am Abraham's God. Behold, before Abraham was, I am. So, you didn't believe on me. The Holy Spirit's going to come with this great woe, this great judgment. And He's going to judge you because of sin. Number two. Verse number 10 of John 16. He's going to reprove the world of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. You do not believe that I am ascended back to the Father from whence I came. He said, he told us very clearly that I go to the Father. I wanted to find that verse. Verse number 28 of this same chapter. John 16:28. I came forth from the Father. That's His eternality. The Word was with God. Number 2. John 16:28. And I am come into the world. That's His incarnation. And became flesh and dwelt among us. Again, I leave the world. That's His ascension. This same Jesus, whom you have seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner. And number 4, and I go to the Father. I'm going back to the Father. So the man head is going to go back into the Godhood of God on our behalf. What does that mean? He hath become sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. I am going to have the Holy Spirit to come. He will reprove you of sin because you didn't believe that I was Messiah, even though I fulfilled every prophecy of the Old Testament that proves that I am. Number 2, He's going to come and reprove the world of righteousness because you do not believe that my going back to the Father fulfills all righteousness. And you, by believing in me, God has taken your sin and imputed it, put it into my account. Therefore, God will take my righteousness and put it in your account. He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Listen, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's hard for me to believe. It's hard for you to believe. It's hard for me to say it. I feel like sometimes it's almost blasphemy, but it's not. That's just my stinking religious flesh. What are you talking about? For me to say that the righteousness in the breast of Christ is the same righteousness in the breast of the true believer. That we have no less righteousness than Jesus Christ's righteousness. That's what that verse said. He has made Him to be sin for us that we might be made, watch it, the righteousness of God in Him. He shall dwell with them and shall dwell in them. The temple of God. This spake He of His body. John 2:21. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, whom you have of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You are part of the temple. Your body fulfills the making up of the members of Christ. The church is the body. Christ is the head. These two shall be made one. Like man and woman. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Or He says that no man ever hated his flesh but loved his wife as his own body. Because the church and Christ make up one body. So His righteousness is our righteousness. Our sin became His sin. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost has come. Brought 3 woes to the world. You didn't believe in me. That's your sin. You do not have the righteousness of God. You can't enter in here without a wedding garment. That's the problem of your righteousness. And then of judgment, the third woe, of judgment. What judgment? Because the prince of this world is judged. Dear soul, go back to John 13. When was Satan judged? John 13. Is that what I want? Hold on a minute. No. John 12. Thank you. John 12, 31. Now, 2,022 years ago, 2,000 years ago, now, not now, but when he said it, his now, not your now, back then, 2,000 years ago, now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. When was the world judged, and when was Satan cast out? Read on. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Well, he's talking about his ascension. No, it's not. Keep reading. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. He's talking about being lifted up on the cross. Yes, it will finally wind up with his being lifted up into heaven. This same Jesus whom you have seen go away. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, 8, 9, and 10. He shall so come in like manner. Yes, he did ascend. But it's talking about his death. Have you got another scripture to back that up? Yes. One of my off-quoted verses to you. Hebrews 2:14. Through death, he destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How did Jesus destroy the one who was the God of this world, the prince of the air, and had death in his control through his own death? Dear soul, let me give you a real good help with those battles you're fighting. Quit fighting. Give up. Quit trying to right wrongs. Get off that white charger going around trying to straighten everybody else out. Bow before King Jesus and yield to the cross and understand Jesus won everything by losing everything. Are you more concerned about your reputation than you should be? The Bible said he made himself of no reputation but emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted. That's what you want, isn't it? To be highly exalted, then you need to go down to the cross. Dear soul, listen. Through death he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. We're almost out of time. We're not quite, but listen. You need to understand that. There are three woes that are the last three trumpets. First woe, fifth trumpet. Second woe, sixth trumpet. Third woe, seventh trumpet. We have given you the scripture verses for those. And Jesus said, when I go back into heaven, who is he? He's the temple of God. John 2:21, I speak concerning my body. He's talking about his body was the temple of God. And once he had gone away, his disciples remembered. The Holy Spirit shall bring all things to your remembrance. And they believed the word which Jesus had spoken and the scriptures. They put them together. You need to put together John 2:21 and that which the Holy Ghost is showing you, even through this message, that the temple of God in heaven is Jesus Christ ascended and sitting on the throne. And he said there's coming three woes. And he gave you the three things the Holy Spirit was going to do in John 16. He's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that's what he's doing, dear soul, by the Holy Spirit of God. So those three things that the Holy Spirit is doing match up with the three woes that God is sending in the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets. And it is Christ in eternity. It is Christ who himself is the temple of God. So, when these things are filled up, let's finish up in Revelation 10 and verse number 7. Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. He's going to clean up everything through these three woes, through these three trumpets. And look at Revelation 15 in verse number 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, watch it now, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. The seven seals opened bring in the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets, three, the last three being the greatest, most severe, they are the three woes. They bring in the seven last plagues. And the seven plagues, according to Revelation 15:1, fill up the wrath of God. Dear soul, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for His love for me and for you. And I'm thankful for His kindness to us as a shepherd of the sheep. But I want you to remember something. He's that man on that white charger with a sword in his hand, with a bow and arrow, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit. People who do not believe in Him shall face the wrath of Almighty God. And it is a great wrath because it is a great He is a great Savior. He gave His Son, and you're going to deny Him? No wonder God's angry with people who deny His Son. That's His darling Son. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And you're not going to believe in Him. And you're not going to bow to Him. And you're going to refuse to see Him as the spiritual temple in heaven opened and sending lightning and voices. Our time's almost gone. Listen. Lightning and voices. We're going to look, Lord willing, some more at that and see the gospel going forth. Lightning. Did you know that light travels 168,000 miles per second? It takes 1 second to say the word alligator. It takes 1 second to say the word hippopotamus. And in the enunciation of either one of those words, light just traveled 168,000 miles in that 1 second. The lightnings, the revelation of God. Dear soul, how do you know that you know that you know? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. How do you know? How come you think you know? How should other people know? By the lightning of God flashing into your soul. By the lightning of God coming speedily from the throne. And maybe even in this message. Hopefully, dear Lord, in this message the Holy Spirit has penetrated somebody's heart and revealed to them in bright lightning flashes the truth of God as it is in Jesus Christ. God have mercy. Lightning and voices. They go together. But remember, sound is nothing more than the sonic boom that comes from the splitting lightning going through the atmosphere. Boy, did you hear that? What was it you heard? The thunder. Oh, really? Where'd that come from? It was that lightning splitting through the universe, through the atmosphere at 168,000 miles per second. Wow! And a voice followed it. God have mercy. You're hearing the thunder in this message. I trust and pray to God the brilliance of the glory of God's lightning has flashed into your soul. I need to hush. Thank you for listening. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for telling others about these gospel broadcasts. And thank you for praying unto God that God would be glorified therein. God bless you.